Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The president of China, President Xi, I believe has been putting pressure on him also, but so far, perhaps nothing's happened, and perhaps it has.
President Trump talking about North Korea during an appearance on CBS this morning. He was asked why the North Korean missiles keep failing.
Well, I'd rather not discuss it, but perhaps they're just not very good missiles, but eventually he'll have good missiles.
You don't want to discuss it because maybe we have something to do with it.
I just don't want to discuss it.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott touring the damage after tornadoes ripped through Canton, Texas. The governor commented on some of the destruction that he viewed.
You saw homes and other buildings that were completely flattened, as well as others that were nothing more than rubble.
Breaking news out of Dallas that a gunman has shot a firefighter and now is in a shootout with police. We'll continue to track the story for you here on USA Radio News.
Guys, all day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
The weather today, you're going to have areas of fog before 1 o'clock. Well, I guess that's over with. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 78, east wind 6 to 13 miles per hour, becoming south in the afternoon. Tonight, showers, thunderstorms. Some of the storms could produce gusty winds. There'll be a low around 61, south winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 80%, and new rainfall amounts between a quarter and a half of an inch is possible. Tuesday, be a chance of showers, mainly before 7 a.m. Then it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 70. West winds 11 to 17 miles an hour. And chance of precipitation is 30%. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 48. West winds 6 to 13 miles an hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 63. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. And Wednesday night, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 43.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908 284 1-800-273-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. Good afternoon and welcome to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged today to have Dana DeAngelis, right? All right. Dana's got a whole bunch of letters after her name. I know the RN, that I know, registered nurse, that I figured out. What is a BSN?
BSN is a Bachelor's of Science in the focus of nursing.
Oh, okay. And a SCRN?
That's stroke certified RN. So I actually have my stroke certification that you go to the boards for.
Oh, okay. That's kind of interesting. All right. Now, you're a stroke coordinator?
Yes.
At the medical center?
Correct.
Okay. I ask everybody whether I do the show before or this show. And I always ask them how they got in this line of business, you know, this line of work. And some people say, oh, something happened, you know, when I was 13 and I always wanted to do it from there on in. Others, where I fall in, well, I had a house, a wife, four kids, a mortgage, car payments, insurance. I needed a job. That's how I got, you know, X. And that's pretty much how I got my job that I stayed in. But I was just curious, how did you get into
this? I just always had an interest for neuro. I started abroad as med-surg nursing, so that's more of the medical as well as the surgical aspect, and then I wanted to focus my field. I had an opportunity at one of the other hospitals I work in to help to open up the neuro floor.
Okay.
So I jumped onto that opportunity when I was over there, and our majority of our patients were stroke patients. So I kind of had a liking towards stroke patients, wanted to learn their stories, had a stroke support group that I created, and from there I just took off into the stroke field. I did try neuroscience, but I really enjoy the stroke patient population, and it gives me an opportunity to
It's interesting.
See them.
Now, forgive me because I'm not technically medically inclined. Now, isn't a stroke like a heart attack, or is it difference between them, or?
Well, it's interesting. Stroke, you know, they always joke around the brain is the only organ that we can't transplant at this time right now. So we do need to – it wouldn't be a stroke lecture if I didn't say time is brain.
Yeah.
Heart attacks, you stay in the emergency room a little bit less of time because they're moving you over to the cath lab and trying to get the stents placed into you. Stroke is more of the key initial aspect in the emergency department. We want to get a medication in, if possible, called TPA or Alteplase, which is a large clot-busting drug, and it helps to break up any clot that might potentially be causing any of your stroke-like symptoms. So that's why we always encourage all of the community to dial 911 if they are able to identify signs and symptoms of stroke, and that way we can get them and take care of them as soon as possible. We have a very small window to give this drug.
Really? Well, what are some of the signs and symptoms then?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. It used to be FAST, so face, if you see any type of facial droop. Arms, so if you hold out your arms in front of you like you're holding a pizza box, if you see one of them drifting or the other one, especially if it's unilateral or one-sided, or speech, if you see difficulties, whether it's trying to, you know, think of words, is it pronunciation, are you exchanging words out, you're saying the wrong words, and then the last T is for time, so we include time for how quickly you get to the hospital as well as time saying when was the last time you were known normal, which is really a key factor that we need to know. And then we added on American Heart, American Stroke Association is looking into add on B, which is BE for balance and also for eyesight, because those are involved with the posterior side of a stroke, which those are the strokes that we miss most frequently only because you don't see them as often occurring when you're looking at that FAST. So
okay.
We're trying to incorporate so that way we can be up and coming.
Well, strokes are more apt to cause paralysis and stuff like that,
correct,
isn't it? And,
but there's,
you know,
also very minute signs that people wouldn't notice right away. If you're off balance, sometimes that can be signs and symptoms of a stroke. That's why we wanted to order that put in that BE first. Sometimes eyesight, if you have like a field vision cut, especially on one side or the outer area, okay. That can also be signs of stroke. It's very interesting because we're trying to incorporate everything to let our community know more of what the signs and symptoms of stroke are.
And what are the signs in men versus women? Is there a difference?
Ironically, unlike heart attack where they say some of the signs are different, the signs present the same in stroke patients. Women are almost double the chance of having a stroke than men are, and women are living longer, so more women are, if you want to say, being affected mm-hmm. by stroke versus men, but it's also the longevity of them. Women are 2 times as likely to get strokes over breast cancer. So it's very interesting that...
That is interesting.
That's one of the facts there. And this is Stroke Awareness Month, so we're trying to bring out all the facts and make people aware of what's going on with our community.
Yeah, I just find that, you know, you would think that, or I would think as a layperson, that men and women would almost be the same thing, you know.
I think it's based on the longevity, that it's giving more years and opportunities for someone to have a stroke. And we're uncovering that there's a lot more risk factors now for stroke. So, okay. You know, you sit back and you think to yourself, there's ones that can be modified and ones that can't be modified. Obviously, Caucasian versus, say, for instance, African-American, you can't modify that. But other risk factors like smoking, high blood pressure, cholesterol, they're actually looking at all of these to say, how is that doubling or tripling your risk of having a stroke?
Mm, okay.
Family history of stroke is included in there.
It's interesting, you know, because I just... You know, to me, it just would think, you know, yeah, there's family history with a lot of things. There's family history with mental illness. There's family history with, you know, right. A lot of Medicaid or illnesses and so on and so forth. I just never thought of stroke as being hereditary, for lack of a better word,
right.
You know.
Well, and if you put, for all the Yankee fans out there, I know there was games yesterday. If you look at Yankee Stadium, the amount of patients that suffer from a stroke each year can fill Yankee Stadium almost 15 times.
Whoa.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, wrong.
So it's the fifth leading cause of death in the United States, but ironically enough, in New Jersey, it's still only the third leading cause. So we're really trying to figure out, what are we doing in New Jersey? Is it that we're not treating the risk factors? Is it that we're not getting enough education out to our communities? So one of our pilots is really to get that education out to our community and to identify, call 911 if you're having signs and symptoms of stroke.
But it's fifth in the country?
Correct. So it's moved, dropped down, which is a great thing that it's gone to fifth leading cause of death now in the United States. Right. It used to be third. But unfortunately,
it's
in New
still
Jersey
third.
Right now, it's still the third leading cause of death.
And why do you think that is?
I don't know, just
out of curiosity.
No, we've been trying to speak about it. I'm part of the New Jersey Stroke Coordinators Consortium, so we all come together in the state of New Jersey. And I think it's just getting that education out there, identifying our risk factors for stroke, signs and symptoms of stroke. A lot of times people ask me, well, that's great that you're a stroke coordinator and someone comes into the hospital and they present with a stroke and they've had a completed stroke. What is your role now? What happens? And it's really that secondary prevention. It's trying to identify, what were your risk factors? What caused you to potentially have this stroke, and how can we treat it so that way you don't have another opportunity to have another stroke?
Mm.
Because it is the leading cause of disability in the United States.
I would think, yeah, okay, I could understand that.
Yes, you between know. The unilateral weakness,
right.
Between, you know, having deficits, whether it be speech, eyesight. Right,
so,
you know, if I lose my eyesight, I wouldn't be able to function as a nurse. So even the very minute areas.
Sure. Do you find that smoking and alcohol have contributed to this?
Yes. 100%. I really think, you know, they're looking at the vessels, the atherosclerosis. We really encourage patients to smoke. We actually have part of our core measures to provide smoking cessation education, to try to offer programs and or, you know, the nicotine gum or patch, just to really encourage our patients that anything that you can and you're able to modify, we really encourage that. A healthy lifestyle, your diet, you know, you mm-hmm. want that low sodium. You really want to jump on whatever you can, because unfortunately we're discovering more and more risk factors for stroke. Soon it's going to be, you know, if you have brown hair, you're at a risk factor for stroke.
Well, I don't have much hair, so I don't have to worry about that too much. But you can fully recover from a stroke, though, can't you?
You can fully recover from a stroke. It's the leading cause of disability, so 25% of stroke survivors may need physical assistance as on the outside, but you can fully recover from a stroke. It's a matter of, you know, you're going to the speech rehab, you're going to physical therapy, you're going to occupational therapy. And it's interesting because there was just an article in the Star Ledger a couple months ago about stroke survivors and how they are not sure they want to be called a survivor. When you have a heart attack, there's a point that you might feel like you're going to die or you're not going to make it through. But they said as when I was having a stroke, I never per se felt like I was going to die. My biggest concern was what deficits am I going to be left with? So they said, I'm not considered a survivor, but more or less, so it's always food for thought. We wanted to put it out to our patients that have had a completed stroke to say, you know, what are your thoughts? Or maybe I should ask you, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'd be happy to survive, you know, really, and I wouldn't care what you called me, you know. You know, it's just, I'm not ready to go yet, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, if it was me, I'd be very happy to have survived and, you know, got through it.
Right.
Unfortunately, you may have some deficits that you didn't have before, but, you know. Do you find that you see any strokes in younger people?
I do see a lot of strokes in younger people, especially younger women, especially those who are taking perhaps oral contraceptives in collaboration with smoking. We have a lot of people who are, if they're obese or they don't have a very active lifestyle, unfortunately, stroke does not discriminate. So I see anyone from, you know, 18, 19 years old. We don't really see the pediatric population per se here at Hunterdon, but I mean, I've seen it in 101-year-old as well. So unfortunately, stroke does not discriminate when it comes to affecting our population.
Unfortunately, I don't know how many people like me who are not that versed in it would think, all right, stroke, my age, you know, and older. But 18, you know.
It's very hard to imagine. So we use a medical scale that's called the NIH stroke scale at the hospital, and 0 would be that you would have no deficits, and 42 would be someone who is, you know, not with us anymore. And it's very difficult because you think to yourself, you know, you're here on the radio. If you had an NIH stroke scale of 1 because you were having difficulty pronouncing words, for you, doesn't matter if it was a 1, might be the most minimum on the scale, you wouldn't be able to function or do what you're doing right now.
Right.
So everyone has their own vision of what a stroke can do, but unfortunately it can leave you with deficits that will change your entire life. So maybe a vision field cut, now you can't drive anymore.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, so it's very difficult, and that's why it's so important to get that education out there. And I guess I should have started it and asked, well, what are the signs and symptoms of stroke to see how much our community can answer?
Yeah, well, you can go ahead and do that if you want. But, you know, it just amazes me that, you know, so young, because like I said, all you ever hear about is, oh, you know, my grandmother had it, or my, you know, my aunt, or my, you know, whatever. You don't hear that my 18-year-old son or daughter had it, you know?
Correct.
And, you know, it just amazes me. Ironically, when I was in the military, what we used to do was drink. When I left the military, I never drank again, ever. Didn't touch it.
That's kudos to you.
And it just, I did smoke, and I smoked for many years. I quit 28 years ago, but I still have a touch of emphysema from smoking, you know. And I can't tell you how many times I tried to quit before, until they put me on an operating table, tilted me upside down, and scraped my vocal cords, and told me that was the only time they could do it. After that, they'd have to take them out, and I'd have to talk through a thing with my big mouth. That wasn't going to happen, so I quit. But I can tell you it's very hard to quit.
Absolutely.
You know, it just, at the time when I was doing it, they gave me the patches, but they were prescription by that at that point. And I was afraid I'd get addicted to that because I got an addictive personality. So I figured I'd get addicted to the patch. I'd be wearing this for the rest of my life, you know.
Right.
So it was at 12-week intervals, you know.
Correct.
So I did it for 6 weeks and then stopped and left them up on my dresser. And I just kept looking at them, you know, but I never smoked again after. But it's amazing to this day, if someone lights a Marlboro up and I'm near, I have to walk away.
Wow.
And this is 28 years later.
Right.
You know, because Marlboro is what I used to smoke. But I know me, you know, and I walk away, you know. But it's just amazing how much alcohol and tobacco, the various things they can cause.
Correct.
And, you know, they may not be the sole cause of it. Well, you know, lung cancer they may be if you're smoking, but
right.
You know, but they may not be the sole cause of some of the other, you know, like we're talking about strokes and stuff, but how much they contribute to it, you know, what the contributing factor of them is
they
just
certainly do.
It's just amazing.
And that's why we really, you know, it's those modifiable risk factors that we're really looking to control. And, you know, our goal is to initiate a stroke support group here at Hunterdon as well. That's one of my goals by the end of this year.
Sure.
So that way I can bring back, whether it be stroke, I'm going to say survivors, but whether
right.
it be those
right.
that have had a stroke and or family members as well, because I think it's important also to understand you're not alone. You're,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, I can't speak for being in someone's position because fortunately for me, I haven't had a stroke, but it's something that you have to be there to support and understand. If you're bouncing ideas, how can I compensate for my deficit? What can we do? You know, how can we help each other along and support each other? So
right.
I was honored to come onto the radio today and hopefully reach out to some of our community members
sure.
that have been
absolutely
listening.
And, you know, even, you know, people ask me why I do what I do with NAMI. We teach classes and run support groups and stuff, give presentations and speeches and so on and so forth. But and they ask me, well, why you do this? You're retired, you know? And I look at it, if I can help one person
correct.
Out of all this, it's worth doing it, you know? And I think it's the same thing with you.
Yes.
If you could help one person maybe avoid a stroke
yes.
or recover from one if you do have one,
correct.
You know?
Correct, depending on what point
right.
I see them in
right.
their path.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly, exactly. And it's worthwhile.
Yeah,
so,
and I think it's important also to understand not only identifying a symptom, but also calling 911. Our community here is so spread out that, you know, trying to bring someone into Hunterdon, even by ambulance, could be a good half hour,
sure.
45 minutes. So imagine you're trying to bring in your loved one in a car, there's traffic, there's, you know, wherever
right.
you may be, that's really an initiative that we're trying to present as well, to say the T in FAST is time and calling 911, because we can only give a medication called TPA within 4.5 hours through your IV or through the cannula in your arm. There's other interventions that can happen up to a 12-hour window, which we would have to send to our comprehensive center. We are a primary center for stroke, so there's certain interventions that we can do and certain interventions that we can't do.
Right.
But that's why it's so important, because the quicker you get into the hospital, the quicker we can identify it. And we now have the helipad that's connected to our comprehensive
right,
center
right.
that we're able to get patients up and over to.
It just, you know, I don't know, it just amazes me that all the technology and medications and what have you that have come about in the last 10, 15, 20 years, 20, 25 years ago, somebody had a stroke, and it was like, you know,
right.
yeah,
like,
tough.
I wish you the best
you know,
of luck
right,
and
yeah.
everything.
Yeah, good luck.
Right.
You know, but now it's like, you know, what is? I don't know if you have a statistic there for it or not, but what is the average recovery rate?
Recovery, well. The problem your definition of recovery might be different than my definition
all right,
of recovery.
Someone who doesn't pass away from it, you know, they may have loss of, you know, loss of movement of one arm or something like that. But that's considered recovery, isn't it?
Right. So, you know, each recovery is different, and there's not necessarily that I can quantify what the recovery rate is. But, you know, there's two different types of stroke. There's a hemorrhagic stroke and an ischemic stroke. So hemorrhagic is more that there's a bleed in the brain or surrounding the brain. And then ischemic stroke is that there's like a blood clot or something that's restricting the blood flow to the brain. So the brain's not getting oxygen. And the brain can't live without oxygen. Right. It doesn't, it's not able to function. So 87% are the ischemic strokes or the blood clots. About 13% are the hemorrhagic strokes. Hemorrhagic strokes or bleeds are a lot more severe. People can recover from them, but the recovery is a lot different and a lot longer if they do recover than ischemic stroke. So one of the interventions that we've tried to place into Hunterdon is we now have teleneurology. So it's one of those... People ask, is it a doc in the box? I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but we have a machine now that our neurologists, no matter where they are, they're able to beam in, per se, and assess the patient right there face-to-face. And it isn't a matter of, well, are we not good enough to for a doctor to come into the room, but it's a matter of let's make the advances with technology that day or night, 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, you have someone available 24-7
it's like a Skype.
To come in. Right. So it's almost like a Skype. They're able to see you over the machine. They can move the machine, ask questions through the machine. They can zoom in to take a look at your pupils, to hear your speech, have cards on the screen to be able to hear your pronunciation of words. So it's really one of the innovative ideas that we're trying to go along with to say, you know, 24-7, you have availability of a neurologist right at the bedside to be able to see what's happening and what recommendations through there. So that's something that we're proud of.
Having worked part-time at the hospital for a couple of years after I retired, and seeing they brought in telepsychiatry.
Yes.
And that's probably, I would assume, it's similar to what your, maybe
same
yours
machine.
Is a little, it's a, but it's a little more intricate what you're doing than.
Correct.
But it's, you know, there's X amount of psychiatrists in the county, and where we should have 38, we have 9 or 10.
Right.
And so they were, you know, killing them, working them, you know, like almost 24-7.
Right.
So this, they brought in from 6 o'clock at night, I think, to 6 o'clock in the morning. And the psychiatrist that's on the other end of the screen there, they got to be, you know, certified in New Jersey and all that.
Correct.
And I'm assuming the doctor has to be, too, if they're not from...
Correct. So we don't use an outsourcing of any teleneurologist. We use our three neurologists
work
at
Hunterdon.
There is the capability to have someone else, but we currently have the coverage that we need at Hunterdon. So we use our three neurologists so that way when they're outside of office hours or on weekends, holidays, whatever it be, they're still able to beam in right at the time that's needed for a stroke patient.
Yeah, well, they use the other at the... For the psychiatric evaluation, they use the all over.
Right.
And the guy could be from, you know, Wisconsin or something, you know.
Correct. I think they use specialists on call, I believe.
Yeah. I don't know what they use exactly. I don't remember the name of it. But they could be from, you know, as long as they're certified in New Jersey, they have to be certified in New Jersey to be
correct.
A part of it. So.
Correct.
But now, I don't know. They got something here that I can't make out. So I'm going to ask you what it is because I can't make it out. What's TIA?
So TIA is a trans-ischemic attack. It's similar to a stroke. It mimics a stroke, but the difference is it resolves. So imagine you have a blood vessel and you have a clot that traveled through and got stuck, say, for 10-second, 20-second, minute, 2-minute period of time and then keeps traveling. For that period of time, the blood flow has stopped going up to the brain. So therefore, you can be presenting with these symptoms. But what happens is, for some reason, whatever it may be, the blood flow continues through and the clot continues traveling. So you have the deficits for a shortened period of time. Ironically enough, and it's one of the hardest to define, it's almost like it's a default diagnosis in terms of you will never see it on CAT scan, on MRI, on echo, on cardiology report. You will never see that. So patients ask, well, what are you doing all these tests for? How can you sit here and tell me that I'm having a TIA and you can't see it on anything? And it's one of those, it's a almost like a default of what's going on with you. In order to see the blood clot and the blood vessels stopping the flow of blood, you'd have to be right under the CAT scan machine at the exact moment that you're having those symptoms. The good news is if your CAT scan is negative, if your MRI is negative, you've had no damage done to the vessels or to the brain cell. But it's something that's like me telling a patient, well, there's nothing on this radiology report, so that must have meant that you were imagining these symptoms. No, they were having these symptoms, but it was something that didn't last for a long enough period of time. By the time you drive in to the hospital, they may be gone already. Right. And those patients are the ones that were at most risk of having another stroke, because if you don't come in when you're having these signs and symptoms and then you say, it went away, I'll wait till the next time it happens. Well, guess what? The next time, it might be a massive stroke, because now you have something that you know is traveling through your vessels, and that's where I come into place as my role to say, we need to identify for a period of time, whatever that time is, you had some types of symptoms, whether it's the facial droop, whether it's weakness, numbness, tingling. So that's why we still go through the whole process of doing the radiology, doing the cardiology, because we want to say, is there something that you have that maybe we didn't know about that caused these symptoms to occur?
Right.
So I'm the secondary aspect to make sure that you don't have another TIA or stroke, because you're almost tenfold of having another TIA or stroke within a month if you've had these symptoms.
Right. Unbelievable. so much I didn't know, and a lot of other people I don't think knew either. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to the 100 Medical Center's Hour, and I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Dana DeAngelis, right?
Okay. Perfect.
And she is the stroke coordinator at the 100 Medical Center, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Pambi's Purely Delicious Ice Creamery wants to help you raise money for your local fire company. In honor of International Firefighter Day, Pambi's will be holding a two-week fundraiser beginning May 2nd. Pambi's will donate 25% of your purchase price to your designated fire company. Simply download the flyer from the Pambi's website and bring it to Pambi's, located on Route 31 just north of Payne Road. Pambi's will also donate 25% of your purchase of Pambi's products at ShopRite. They have flyers there too. Honor the men and women who would risk their life to save yours. Pambi's, purely delicious.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we are very privileged, I can speak, have Dana DeAngelis, who has got all letters after her names, and we went over that earlier, but she is the stroke coordinator at the Hunterdon Medical Center, and we've been talking about stroke and symptoms of stroke and various types and what happens and what you should do. First thing you should do is
call 911.
There you go.
And for all of those listening earlier, if Larry has any other issues with speech, that's one of the signs and symptoms of stroke as well. So we'll keep track of that.
Thanks.
We didn't get a chance to mention earlier, but just to put it into perspective, every 4 minutes, someone dies of a stroke, and there's approximately 7 million stroke survivors over the age of 20 currently living in the United States.
70 million?
7 million.
7 million. That's still an awful lot. If someone feels they're having a stroke and they dial 911 and they get brought to the medical center, what can they expect there?
Well, we'll certainly do what's called a code stroke, so we'll do the workup. We always get a CAT scan of the head without contrast to make sure that there's no bleed within the head because that's treated differently. A neurologist sees the patient, whether it be through teleneuro or if they're right there in person, they can see them as well. And then we make sure to draw all their lab work as well. There are a lot of mimics of stroke. So sometimes especially a patient who has diabetes, if their blood sugar is very low, they can actually mimic some of these signs and symptoms of stroke. So it's very important for us to get a finger stick or a blood sugar test on all patients coming through, regardless of if they're a diabetic or not, because that can mimic. Sometimes if a patient has a seizure, after their seizure, they can be in a phase where they have the inability to speak afterwards. It's called a postictal state. Or a Todd's paralysis, and sometimes that will project that. If someone is severely intoxicated, they can have difficulty with their balance, with ambulation, with a slurring of speech. So we really need to identify what is the cause of being brought in. Our biggest key factor that we like to have is family and friends around who has seen the patient last known well. So you'll hear that being talked in almost every stroke speech to say, well, what do you mean last known normal? And why is that so important? Well, when you find out what the last known normal is, say you went to bed at 10 o'clock last night, felt like yourself, everything was great, and when you woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning, you already had a facial droop. Well, unfortunately, our clock does not start at 7 o'clock. It starts from 10 o'clock the night before.
Right.
Because we don't know, did these symptoms start at 10:01 in your sleep or did they start at 6:59 in the morning in your sleep? So one of the biggest areas that we would like to encourage our community and population, if you're calling for 911, the biggest key that you can help us with is to tell us when was the last time you saw your relative, family member, friend, whoever it is, normal or up to their baseline.
Right.
and what are their medications that they take at home. There's certain medications that, regardless of if a patient comes in within an hour of symptoms or 24 hours of symptoms, that we cannot administer, or it's not currently approved by the FDA or AHA, ASA guidelines, which are the American Heart and American Stroke mm-hmm. guidelines, to administer the TPA. So if family members can do anything while they're waiting for 911, that's the biggest thing they can do, is collect that information for us so they can telephone it into us. And then once you're in the emergency department and go up to the floors, we'll certainly complete an MRI for the patient. We'll do cardiology testing, probably more blood work to check their cholesterol right. panels, right. their hemoglobin A1C for diabetes, and see if there's anything else that we can control while we're in there. And then our biggest key is that we like to discharge our patients, as long as they are still having deficits, to some type of rehab facility, so that way it can work on the repetitiveness of getting stronger or their speech. There are not too many acute care facilities for rehab in New Jersey, so that's one of the barriers to a lot of our family that have family members that have had stroke, because they don't want to travel the distance, or it's a hardship to travel the distance. There's a lot more subacute right. rehabs that are closer to our area. The problem is with subacute rehabs, while they're wonderful and fantastic, they don't have as many hours of rehab a day as the acute care facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as someone is able to go to the acute care facilities, we really recommend that to our patients, so okay. that way they get the best care and they can get as close to their baseline as possible.
It's just, and diabetes has an effect on, or can help cause a stroke?
Well, diabetes is one of the risk factors that in conjunction can have an effect on your stroke, the likelihood that you will or won't have a stroke. There's a certain window that we can give the medication, and then there's an extended window. But when you have the extended window, when you have a patient who has a history of stroke and diabetes together, we really recommend that they don't receive the medication at this line, based on our mm-hmm. guidelines that we follow. Sugar is very bad for something called the penumbra in the brain, which is the salvageable tissue. That's our goal, is to make sure the tissue that was deprived of that oxygen, we can now right. get that oxygen back flowing. So we really need to be careful in terms of diabetes in conjunction with patients who are having stroke or signs and symptoms right. of stroke.
Is there other illnesses that can contribute?
Hypertension, so someone who has hypertension, someone who's perhaps a little bit overweight, someone who has high cholesterol, those are certainly risk factors that we have there. We had mentioned earlier the smoking.
Right.
Not like I was saying earlier, nowadays it's one of those, you're going to say, any risk factor, anything that you have is going to be a risk factor for some type of disease that's out there or clinical pathway.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I just find it, I won't say interesting, because that's, maybe not a right choice of words, but I just find that there's so many people that have strokes. I know that there's people have heart attacks and, they have other illnesses and, whatever, but I didn't realize that so many people had strokes, and I'm just flabbergasted that people 18, 20 years old can have it.
Correct. And it's ironic if you go out into the community and you ask them, if someone's clutching their chest, would you know to call 911 right away? But if you ask the community sometimes, what about someone who has a facial droop, or they're, maybe dragging their leg a little bit, the rate at which they treat the patient sometimes mm-hmm. isn't the same, and it's getting that whole idea out there that, stroke is just right. up there with those stroke patients, with those patients that are having heart attacks, and sometimes it's even higher than those that are coming in with trauma. But you see a trauma come into the emergency room, and that's an emergency. You see someone who's maybe an elderly woman just having little facial droop, little difficulty with speaking, it's that
right.
instinct to try to treat them just as emergently because they can have a higher mortality than that of someone having a heart attack.
Sure. And it's, you know, I don't know. It's, I think that a lot of various illnesses occur because of our lifestyles.
Correct.
And, you know, like I said, it's just, you know, with me, they had to go to the operating room and scrape my vocal cords to make me stop smoking. And, you know, I know people that had similar instances and they still smoke.
Right.
You know, and I guess with me, it just wasn't, I didn't want to talk through that, you know, what do they call amplifier or whatever they put in your throat. That just wasn't my style, you know. But I can understand how smoking is an addiction. Let's face it, just like drinking or anything else or drugs or whatever. They're all addictions. And having been addicted to it, I know how hard it is to quit. But when you look at what all can happen, you know, how it's destroying your body, you know, it makes sense to quit, you know. Now, I know a lot of people, my youngest son has schizophrenia and drives me nuts, but he smokes. But I understand after doing a lot of research and teaching for the last 15 years on, you know, mental health and such, that a lot of schizophrenics smoke because it quells the voices in the head. Doesn't cure schizophrenia, but it does quell the voices, but it still leaves them open to, you know, heart attack.
I think it's that support system, that understanding, it's that risk-benefit ratio to say, you know, there's patients that we'll see that have had, you know, TIAs, those mini strokes that we're calling it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and it's one of those, you know, it's the luck of the draw. Are you willing to gamble to continue that lifestyle, or do you want to take that step to reduce the risk factors? And then, unfortunately, there's a very small handful that they call it those cryptogenic strokes, which means that no matter what testing we did, we cannot identify what has caused that stroke. And it's a very small percentage, but, you know, do you want to take that risk and not live that healthy lifestyle or not make certain changes or choices? Mm-hmm. And not everything is controllable, but what is controllable, we really need to work towards modifying. Or, you know, am I going to have those sweets every night for my diet, or am I going to try to cut it down? Because every little step matters. And I think people, you know, we need to see that we're here and we're taking care of our community and we're supporting each other. And any questions, concerns, the Huntington Medical Center is always willing.
While we're on that, why don't you give the phone number?
Sure, no problem.
And the email and all that jazz?
Sure. So my direct line, in case anyone has any questions or would like to talk to me, my name is Dana DeAngelis, and my number is 908-704-707. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm lying to you. It's 908-237-7076. I apologize. I'm newer at my position. And my email address is DeAngelis, so DeAngelis at hhsnj.com.
What was that again?
I was going to say, do you want me to repeat that?
Yes.
So my number is, the real number this time, is 908-237-7076. And my email address is DeAngelis@hhsnj.com.
And in the last couple minutes, why don't you just go over the, what was it, fact?
The fun facts, we should say, or real facts of stroke.
Right.
Sure. So just a few facts one more time, so that way we have a nice wrap up here. Stroke is the fifth leading cause of death in the United States, but it is still the third leading cause of death in New Jersey. And approximately 130,000 Americans a year do pass away from stroke. It is the leading cause of disability Approximately 25% of our stroke survivors may need physical assistance. And when we say it's the leading cause of disability, just to define disability a little bit better, it's saying yes to one of the following, which may include use of an assistive device, difficulty performing daily living activities, whether it be brushing your teeth, whether it be doing the laundry, one or more selected impairments or limitations in the ability to work around the house or at a job or business. The mortality rate for stroke in women is double that of breast cancer. Approximately every 4 minutes, someone dies of a stroke, and there are 7 million stroke survivors over the age of 20 living in the United States. And just for our baseball fans, one more time, if you look, take a look at Yankee Stadium, the number of Americans affected by stroke per year can fill Yankee Stadium approximately 15 times.
You hear that? 15 times.
So,
and real quick,
sure.
What is the tips if somebody is, you know, like for a loved one, if they see some their loved one?
Correct.
What was it? The face?
Yep. So I'm going to review that one more time,
real quick.
And our last area is to say for FAST, which stands for face, arms, speech, and time. So you want to act fast, and in doing that, if one of your family members or relatives, friends has any signs of facial droop, any with their arms, if they have any type of weakness, mm-hmm. or if they're drifting on either side, make them hold out their arms like they're holding a pizza pie. If they have any difficulties with speech, like Larry was having earlier in the radio show, but it all resolves, so we're okay for now, to call 911, and T stands for time, so making sure you get your relatives, loved ones to the hospital as quick as possible in time for us to be able to do all possible interventions.
In the last minute, your phone number again, what was it?
My phone number is 908-237-7076.
Dana, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate having you on, because I learned a lot. I really did, because I never, you know, just never thought about it that way, you know. And
so if I get one person,
that's
my
right.
job for the day.
That's it. There you go.
Please feel free to reach out to me, call me, email me. I'd be happy to hear from our community here. If you have any suggestions, if there's any outreach projects that we can do, we're looking to try to bring our information to the community. So if there's any events that are going on in the community,
sure.
and you'd like us to have a stroke table there where we can give information and facts, I'd love to come as well. So please think of me if there's any event that you're going to.
That'll be awesome. And we'll begin next week, same time, same station. And stay healthy, folks. You know, the medical center doesn't really want to see you except for a physical or something. You know?
And happy Stroke Awareness Month. Make sure you go out and even tell one of your loved ones what you heard about today.
There you go. See you next week.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
100 Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Thank you. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We have now pre-existing conditions in the bill. We've set up a pool for the pre-existing conditions so that the premiums can be allowed to fall.
President Trump appearing on Face the Nation talking about the Republicans' new health care plan. The president was adamant the first time around was not really a failure.
This bill is much different than it was a little while ago, okay? This bill has evolved. And we didn't have a failure on the bill. You know, it was reported like a failure. Now, the one thing I wouldn't have done again is put a timeline. That's why on the second iteration, I didn't put a timeline.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin defending President Trump's tax reform proposal on CNBC. Mnuchin said they want to simplify the federal tax code by eliminating all deductions. There would be exceptions for the popular mortgage interest deduction and also for charitable contributions. And the death toll continues to rise. At least 14 people now dead after tornadoes and flooding in the Midwest. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Alaroot for pre1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. Gold was $300 per ounce when I started buying. Today it's over $1,200. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. All those other firms are selling gold bullion. It's not rare, it's not proven, and they have a huge markup because they've commissioned salesmen. I have found the Uber of gold. This company, pre1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre1933.com is a wholesale of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. All conservatives understand the hole America's in. We owe $20 trillion in debt. We all know gold is the answer. It's our insurance policy. But now you can buy your gold wholesale, just like dealers, without commission salesmen involved. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre1933.com. You'll never buy gold from anyone else ever again.
A suspect who resided in the building in an apartment not associated with the apartment of the domestic violence incident left his apartment building or his apartment armed with a weapon.
A Detroit police spokesman telling reporters about the shooting today that left a police officer in a medically induced coma in very critical condition.
The officer was shot, fired several rounds from his apartment issued weapon. And simultaneously, both the officer and the suspect fell to the ground.
Police swarming an area of East Dallas where a firefighter was shot. Dallas police said officers were pinned down by a man with a gun. There are unconfirmed reports at least one other person was shot. The firefighter now undergoing surgery at Baylor University Medical Center. His condition has not been announced. The shooting took place near a firefighter's training facility in East Dallas. Police have urged people to stay away from the area during the manhunt. Officers spotted a man with a rifle walking down the street this morning. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Alaroot for VRA. In 2003, Kip Herridge founded VRA, his global investment newsletter. His VRA is unlike anything you've ever seen. He's outperformed Wall Street every year since 2003. Today, in honor of the national rollout of my radio show, Kip wants to give every listener his new book for free. It's called Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. To beat the markets and become wealthy in the age of Trump, get your free copy at VRAinsider.com. It's 100% free at VRAinsider.com. That's VRAinsider.com.
The Islamic terrorist that placed bombs in New York and New Jersey being denied a request that he's made to the judge. Here's more on the story.
A judge has said no to Ahmad Rahimi's request to move the trial to Camden. Rahimi, who's
delicious taste, but just fewer, simpler ingredients. So I love the Idahoan Premium Steakhouse potato soups. They deliver the flavorful, slow-cooked, restaurant-quality potato soup right to my table in just 5 minutes.
Okay, where do we go for more info, Brooke?
Yeah, for these great products and my tips and recipes, you guys can go to betterstuffforlife.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you, Angie.
The head of the White House Budget Office says President Trump is moving on after the health care failure in the House. Here's Chris Barnes.
The president does have things he wants to accomplish. He's not going to sit and wait for Congress to sit around and do the right thing.
President Trump's budget director, Mick Mulvaney, saying the Trump administration's moving on to other things like tax cuts now and away from health care following Friday's defeat of the House GOP health care bill. Mulvaney telling NBC's Meet the Press the administration's now going to allow Obamacare to collapse and let the Democrats take the blame.
When it breaks, and it's going to break, they will come back to us.
I'm Chris Barnes.
Reports of one person dead after a residential rehab